Have a good week. I tell you, you know, talking about when you get by yourself and when you, especially when you are by yourself and you do, you get to thinking. You really do. You get to thinking about what's going on around us. And there's a whole lot more going around us than what we believe and what we imagine. But if you will, turn to the book of Habakkuk. Schofield is 958. And I want to bring a message on this thought this morning. We just need to thank God anyhow. Amen. We just need to thank God. And we need to thank Him for all our blessings. But here in chapter 3, in verses 17 and 18 and 19. We're going to read three verses there. But it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flocks shall be cut off from the fold, thou shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He make my feet like hind feet, and He will make me to walk upon my high places. To the chief singers of my string instruments. Now, Father, this morning we just want to thank You, Father, for Thy presence this morning. We want to thank You, Father, to where we can come and gather together around Your word this morning. Father, it's a privilege to be here this morning. And Father, I do want to thank You for what You've done for my life and for where You have brought me from. And I thank You for the Savior and the Redeemer that saved my soul. I thank You for that. You did not have to do that, but you did. And I thank you for that. We just want to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. We ask these things. Rebecca said, we've got troubles, but I'll just thank God anyhow. We have got troubles on every hand. And as we have troubles, we need to just thank the Lord. We need to thank God for the troubles. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand that. You saying thank God for the troubles. Troubles. I say, yeah. We need to thank God for the trouble. Because the troubles will bring us back to Him. It will bring us back to the place that at one time in our life was real close to God. But as we go today, and as we walk with people, I mean, as God walks with people, and as God looks after us, we will come to the place of things that we don't understand. But we must not dwell on what we don't understand. We must dwell on what we do understand. And we must dwell on, thus saith the Lord. And Nahum, it's a couple pages back, chapter 1 and verse 7 says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the days of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemy. What do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. For while they be forbidden, be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkard, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. They as one come out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. Thou saith the Lord, thou they be quiet. And likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. For now I will break his yoke from off thee, and will burst the bonds in under. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy God will I cut off the graven image and the molten image, and I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Verse 15. Behold upon the mountain the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes the published peace. O Judah, keep thy seldom feast. Perform thy vow. For the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. I sure am glad that the Lord Jesus Christ, He broke them chains. He broke them chains of bondage that where I was under. And I'm so thankful that not only did He break the chains, but He also had allowed me to where the devil cannot attack me. The devil cannot attack me on his own. God has to give him permission. He has to okay it for Satan to attack me and to attack you. And the reason for that is because of faith. We all have trouble from time to time. We know you've got troubles when you wake up face down on the pavement. You call suicide prevention and they put you on hold. You see a 60-minute news team waiting in your office. Your birthday cake collapsed from the weight of the candles. You turn on the news and they showing an emergency route out of the city. Your twin sister forgets your birthday. You wake up to discover that your waterbed broke, and then realize you don't have a waterbed. We are facing troublesome times. And we are, and that's what I've just read, that's what these illustrations, we are facing troublesome times. And the most important thing about it is that we know the one that can calm the sea. We know the one that can calm the waters. We know the one that can calm the soul. We know the one that can calm each one of us. We can go back and we can remember when we was all in school and back then they taught us something. They taught us history. They taught us where we came from. They taught us how America got started. And they tell you from where. They tell you that it got started from a few men that loved God enough, that left England to come to this vast land, the promised land, I look at, because they seen something here and they knew that if they came, that they would fill out and they will be able to feel the promises of God. Overseas and all around, in England and different places like that, back then is when they had all the revival, the Welsh revival started in England. That's when you had D.L. Moody. When D.L. Moody, when he preached, he went to over in England and he preached. And when Billy Sunday, he preached. Why? Because they knew that the United States of America was founded on principle. And it was founded on God. And the morality that we had was moral. We feared God so much back then that we'd see people go from one side of the highway, one side of the street, to the other side. Why? Because they would have been out doing sin. They'd been out drinking or something like that. But then they'd see a preacher, a man of God, walk down the streets, walk down the highway. And they feared God so much that they did not want to come in the presence of where God's man was at. That's the sinner. They feared God. The Christians today don't even fear God. What's wrong? Where have we come from? Where are we going to? We need to get back to the old path. We need to get back to telling people. If you're not preaching from this book, the King James book, Bible, you're not preaching God's word. Now, I'm going to stand here today and I'm going to tell you, I know I am not that ignorant and I'm not that stupid to understand that this is not the original manuscript. This is not the original manuscript. But I believe to the English-speaking people of the United States of America and around the world where people can read it and speak it and understand it, it's the closest thing to the original that God has to give us. And when I get to heaven, when I stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, at the judgment seat of Christ, He's not going to ask me, "You open your Bible. Well, what about this one verse in here? The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Are you strong today because of trouble? Are we?" No, He's not going to ask for this book. He's going to ask for the book that is settled. And He has it right there in heaven. He is the one who has the book. He's the one that has the keys to the book. But we are people. We are starving to death. Why? Because we don't fear God. That's the reason. That's the reason we're starving to death. That's the reason that people like here are dying and going to hell every day. Why? Because they're starving to death. They're starving because they want the Word of God. And they can tell in what they're getting. When they go to church and then if they're not getting the Word of God, they know that they're not getting the Word of God. They're not getting the truth. And we have to give them the truth. We got an obligation. God has given us something that we can cherish. That's right here in the book. But He did not mean for us to be able to take that and read it and study it and pray over it for us to just keep it to ourselves. No. He saved us. He gave us this book that where we can be able to read it. We can be able to understand it. We can be able to cherish it. We can pray over it. To where we can give it out to other people. We need to give the word to other people. How do you give the word to other people? All we have to do is just tell somebody what God has done. What God has done for me. What God has done for you. What God has done for Faith Baptist Church. What God is going to do here. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to concentrate on. What God is able to do. And what God will do. And what God is going to do. But we have to, as individuals, we have to realize it has to start somewhere. Who it has to start with. It has to start with me, oh Lord. It has to start with me. And if it don't start with me, oh Lord, who will it start with? It needs to start with me, oh Lord. I'm in need of prayer. God has given us some things that we don't really understand why He gave it to us. But He gave us this word. And He gives us the plan of salvation. Over in John chapter 3. Three words there. Or four or five, I forgot how many it is. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Not of water, not of blood, but ye must be born through the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation and accepting Him and what He had done at Calvary. We see people today, they don't know how to act, and they really don't know how to approach people. Christians don't know how to approach the sinner, but yet we see the sinner in need of prayer. We see where sinners is in need of salvation. So it's not up to the Lord to bless me, but for me to bless the Lord in going out and telling people about Jesus. That's the only way that I can bring a blessing to the Lord. And the Lord wants a blessing. He wants us to brag on Him. He wants us to just to hover up and just give Him a great old big bow hug and say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me. Thank you. Thank you. For what He's done for me. You have a good afternoon. We pray that they're going to change it. They're going to pull you out this week. They're going to talk to you and say, hey, what schedule do you want? Right. What schedule do you want?
Be nice.
but ye must be born again. Habakkuk, he vowed to thank God anyhow. He made a vow to his own self, to thank God anyhow. And you know something, it's good just to thank God for just being God. Whether he's done anything for us or not, we just need to thank him. Why? Because of who he is. I mean, a loving God like God. How can I turn my back on him? He has never turned his back on me. He's been there for me. He's been there for me when I didn't need him. And when I did need him, he was there for me. So I just need to thank him. I just need to thank him for just being God, for being the Savior that he is. How can people be thankful in the midst of difficult? You know, it is hard. When you're going through a difficult time in your life or whatever it may be, sickness or maybe a job or finances or whatever, it's difficult times. And sometimes we just don't feel like just loving God. Sometimes we just don't feel like even thanking God. But we need to thank God. Why? For all the chances that he gives us. Verse 17 of chapter 3, he says, he's talking about the economics here. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall fail. No meat, the flock, shall be cut off from the fold. Thou shall be no herbs in the stalls. Israel right here lost their vital income, the economics of the economy of the income, the fig tree without a blossom. The fig tree did not blossom. The fig tree stood there bare. No fruit was on the vine. The olive tree will not produce. The fields will yield no harvest. The cattle and the sheep are lost. Habakkuk said, I just thank God anyhow. You know, sometimes we feel like that we don't, that we're no good. We feel like, at least I do at times, I feel like sometimes that what's the use of me going out? What's the use of me calling somebody? and inviting them to church. What use is it, Lord? I feel so inadequate. I feel so down. I feel so discouraged and everything. And I feel like I just don't want to do it. Why? Because, see, my tree is not bearing fruit. Your tree may not be bearing fruit. But when we start bearing fruit, then we get back, right back with God. We get closer to God. Sometimes we get closer to God than we ever have been before. But we can be thankful that God does not change. God does not change because I want Him to change. Because I want Him to do this or do that. No, He don't change. The Word of God says He's same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Never changes. So when we go to God, we just need to be thankful. We need to be like Habakkuk, that he went to God and said, I'm going to just give you praise just because you're God. I want to thank you anyhow. I just want to thank you. God does not change. Malachi 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Thank God for salvation. We thank God that He does not change. And He does not change the way people come to Him for salvation. Individuals have to come to God the same identical way. Every time, they don't need to go to God and say, well, God, I believe in you. The devil believed also. But he trembles. But we just need to say, Lord, I know you haven't changed. He is at the same salvation, the same way. It was good enough for D.L. Moody. It was good enough for the saints of God of old. It's good enough for me. Why would I want to change the book? Why'd I want to change the Bible that someone else took?
showed me how to be saved. Why do I want to do away with that? I don't. Why? Because I believe if an individual truly falls in love with God and falls in love with the Son, they're going to fall in love with this book. Because, see, this is the only way that we have where He can speak to us. This is the only way to where we can speak to God. Why? Because it teaches us how to go about speaking to God. It teaches us in the things that we must do for God. You know, some people say, well, God needs me. God don't need nobody. God don't need none of us. We need God. We need God every day. And God has written our names down there in heaven. And He's given us an opportunity where He will provide for us. Not just for today. He provides for us tomorrow, for next week, next month, next year. Why and how can He? See, God can see into the future. He's an all-knowing God. He's an all-present God. He's right here with us all the time. But yet, He knows exactly what's going to be holding the future for us. I'll be honest with you. If I knew what this week was going to hold for me, if I knew what was going to go on this week or just tomorrow, I would probably commit suicide. Why? Because I wouldn't want to face it. But see, God says, you don't have to worry about that. You ain't got to face tomorrow today. Because today is the day of salvation. Today, you must do what you can do for today. What you do, you have to do it for today. It must be done today. It cannot wait. Why? Because tomorrow never gets here. Never gets here. Never gets here. I said that one Sunday morning at the church that I went to to preach, and I said the same thing. I said, tomorrow never gets here. Tomorrow never gets here. Then after the service, one of the ladies in the church, she come up to me, she says, you said something there that I've really never thought about it. But you says, tomorrow never gets here. I said, well, it don't. I says, of all the people that I know, the men wear watches, the ladies, they have watches. And I said, it's even a clock within his sanctuary here. I said, I want you to look at that clock. It's 12 o'clock noon today. I says, now when that clock goes around to midnight tonight, 1 minute before 12, what is it? It's today. I said, well, what is 12:01? She says, it will be today. I said, you're right. Tomorrow never gets here. There is no tomorrow in serving God. It's only today. Because God takes care of tomorrow. He takes care of next week. He takes care of next month. He takes care of next year. He takes care of everything. The only thing he wants us to concentrate on is right now. What we must do for the Lord, we must do it now. We need to thank God for even trials. You know, I notice sometimes people they don't understand why we have to go through some of the things that we have to go through. But we have to go through them. Because, see, God never promised me. He has never promised me in His Word that I will not have trials, that I will not have troubles, that I will not have sickness, that I will not have this. But He tells me, He says, son, I will go through it with you. And as He goes through it, He holds my hand and He leads me and He guides me through the times that I don't understand. But we just need to thank Him anyhow. We can triumph. We can triumph over what? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's made it all possible for us. The Lord is our strength. Psalms 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through you which strengtheneth me. That ain't what it says, is it? I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through my Lord and Savior. Which will strengthen me. He will make my feet like hind feet. That means a swift and graceful. It means that we can be swift on our feet. But when we are, we show gratefulness. Why? Because of the Lord our God. He will make me to walk upon high places. That higher ground, you may be on the lower ground for now, but God will bring you up to a higher ground eventually. We may all be going through problems this week that maybe no one else knows about but us. But always remember this. God knows all about it. God knows all about it. And I believe when we go to God, when we ask God, we need to say, God, you know what I'm about to go through this week. But I'm going to turn it over to you. And I'm going to thank you ahead of time. For what you're doing. And for what you're going to do. Thank you ahead of time. He is always up. For the challenge. I believe that's the reason he gives the devil permission. It's because God knows that he's up for the challenge. And if he's up for the challenge to do what he's going to do, that means that we end up putting more faith in him. More faith in what he is doing. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Nothing. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. But you know something? He likes to be challenged. He likes to be to the point that when we go to him and we say, Lord, we're just going to leave this to you. And the Lord will say, well, I sure am glad you decided you're going to do that. Because I'm up for the challenge. I'm up for answering prayer. And he answers prayer every day of our lives. He answers our prayer of things that we don't even think about. He does answer our prayers. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you. I mean, this is Jesus Christ. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? Me. Concerning who? You. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers. But you know the reason I believe sometimes he don't answer them? Is because when we go to him with our prayers, we just won't leave them there. Because he says in the Word of God, says, we must bring our cares upon the Lord. And let him take care of the care. Just like I said earlier, he's up for the challenge. But you know, even though he's up for the challenge, he's not, and he will not, override me. He will not override you. If you're thinking about the prayer, if you continue praying, if you continue worrying about the prayer that you prayed, we just need to forget, we just need to leave it to God and forget about it. We need to forget about that prayer and just go to God, and just go to God with another prayer. Because God's going to say, you ain't going to do what just mess it up, so I'm not going to even get involved in it right now. But when you decide you want to just give up on it, completely turn it over to me, I'm here. I'm here for you. But don't worry about things that you cannot do anything about. We can't do anything about it. I mean, it's not a prayer that I haven't went to the Lord about. That if I really got to thinking about that request, it's nothing that I could do. It's nothing that I could do for the request. So thankful that when I just let go of it and I say, Lord, here it is, it's yours. I'm not going to think about that no more. I'm not going to worry about it no more. I'm going to go on to something else. Then the next thing you know, God's going to ask you to pray. How many times have you seen where God has to answer a prayer request for you that you went to him and asked him for? I mean, he does it every day. We don't thank him enough. We don't thank him enough for our salvation. We need to just thank God in that. We just need to thank him in that. We need to praise him in that. We need to love him in that. Why? Because he's the love of my life.
Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Lord, we do thank you ahead of time, Father, for all the prayer requests that we went up this morning. Lord Jesus, if people will maybe come back tonight, and Father, that some more people will be here. And Lord, that you may answer the prayer request upon the people's hearts. Father, help them, Lord, that they will just leave that care and that burden that they carry to you, Father. And Lord, that they will just maybe take on something else. They will ask for prayer and ask for your touch upon something else. Father, help us all, Father, to be mindful of you, that you are the God that we serve, and you are the God that we know, and you are the God that we understand and loves us. We thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.